Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for our quarterly analysis from our guy from Straight Money Analysis, Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. What do you say, Mr. Meyer?
Good afternoon, Todd. Thank you, as always, for having me on the Bubba Show. It's an extreme pleasure to visit with you once again. Thank you, Todd.
Well, it's always good to have on an expert, an old-timer that is older than most people have been trading in their life. Most people are old. So give us the skinny, give us the general overview of what you're seeing in the markets right now.
Well, I think the market has made a very important long-term top, and I have to go with that belief until proven otherwise. I think the correction which unfolded, you and I, quite frankly and honestly, had been expecting for quite some time. It wasn't a question of if, it was a question of when this market would correct. And I think the rally which has unfolded from the recent lows is about exhausted. We retraced about 50% of the decline. And I think this market could be setting up to retest the lows once again, Todd. What do you think?
Oh, I think the high is in. I said I was looking for a big sell-off followed by a rally that failed, and that's what we've seen so far. So, you know, we're still pushing up against those levels there. But I quite frankly, you know me, I'm an anti-Fed guy all of a sudden. You know, I mean, it wasn't always that way, but the more I watch, the more I can't stand them. And I think they're doing the market and the investors and everybody else a great disservice here with every action that they take. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think, honestly, they're justified in raising interest rates, certainly to the degree that they already have. You know, when you look at the 10-year Treasury, it's trading at the highest levels we've seen in about 4 years. You take a look at the 2-year Treasury note, it's trading at the highest level we've seen in about 10 years. You take a look at the 5-year German bond, it recently traded in positive territory, as you know, for the first time since 2015. So I think we're seeing interest rates rise all over the world, and the question is, you know, how much higher can they go over what period of time?
So you don't think they should be raising rates, or you do? I misunderstood, I think.
I don't think they should be raising rates at this juncture. I don't think the economy, quite frankly, in my humble opinion, is all that strong.
Well, again, they keep telling us how strong it is. So I don't like the rates down here, Joe, myself. I think that it's a farce, and it takes away the free market system. That's a real trouble to me. I would rather let the rates in the market figure it out, because if they don't, then we're going to have a much bigger problem down the road. What are your thoughts to that?
Well, I think when you talk about rates, honestly, they're no higher now than they were in 2009, 10, 11, 13, and 14. I think what investors are concerned about is interest rates were going down during that period of time, and we're now seeing them rise. You know, if they're going to jack rates from here, and I'm hoping they don't, it's going to be the death knell of the equity market for a good number of years. I truly believe it. Because if we're going to see rates move significantly higher, and we're being told that they're going to do that, they're going to kill the housing industry, the equity market, and I think they're going to kill the job market as well. What do you feel?
Well, I mean, again, I disagree on that point. I think that interest rates should be higher. I think that they're killing the savers. I think they're killing. I think they're killing the middle class. I think that there's a lot of issues that they're creating, and these are created by the Fed. I thought that when Bernanke had the meltdown in 2013, that they should have raised rates then. So I think that rates should be much higher. Otherwise, you're going to wipe out this economy, because you know that the market's going to collapse at some point.
I agree with you that we should, over the long term, see higher rates. I'm questioning the timing of raising them, quite frankly, at this juncture as to where we are in the economy. That's where I differ with you.
Well, I mean, again, I just look at it from this point, Joe. I mean, we've been at these ridiculously low rates, and all that's really happened is the rich have gotten a lot richer, and the middle class are screwed. So I don't know what good these low rates do, because nobody who needs the money can get it. So that's
When you talk about 50 million people on food stamps and 100 million individuals no longer participating in the workforce, you know, I have to question, if they're going to ratchet up rates from here, what effect it's going to have on a bigger picture.
Well, yeah, I understand that. So what I'm saying to you is that the bigger picture is already a farce to begin with. I don't see this market.
Agree.
So you once told me something, and you and I both agreed on this, probably it was almost 2 years ago, and you said that markets can just figure out themselves what the asset is worth. So why are the bonds different? Why should the Federal Reserve, who is an absolute joke as an organization, first of all, they're tied to the government, even though they're private. Second of all, they have no clue of what's going on around them. I mean, they're great when it comes to using something by theory, because theory is easy to work with, because you don't have to change your theory. But so you tell me that we don't have free markets now, Joe. So how are you going to get to free markets if you can continue to let the Federal Reserve continue to manipulate the market?
Well, you know, you and I have said many times that markets are very efficient when they can reprice asset classes. They have started to do that to a degree. I think there's a lot more ahead of us, certainly when we talk about repricing the various asset classes. And I'm just questioning, looking at the geopolitics and looking at the economics globally. And again, I come back to, they should have, if they were going to raise rates quite humbly, in my opinion, for what it's worth, done it quite some time ago.
Well, no, we love your opinion. That's why we have it here. But now, again, I'm giving you the other side of why I think that it's a bunch of manure. Okay, I don't think that we're seeing a true free market, because you're not getting assets to reprice themselves. The Fed is pricing the assets. So what do they know? What does the government know about money? Listen, you talked about all those people on welfare and everything else. Well, if we would actually step down on it and quit giving money to people who don't deserve it, I have no problem paying taxes for people who really need money. Okay, I have no problem. But I have a big problem when probably 20-30% of the people that are on the roll don't deserve it and are stealing the money.
Well, you know, when you talk about valuations, and I know you and I have spoke about this many times, had it not been for the liquidity that was pumped into this market would be nowhere near the levels it's currently trading. That's why I think you and I agree that this market has quite a ways to go down once we get a black swan event. And again, I don't know what that's going to be. But I think when it does broadside this market, again, my humble opinion, has a hell of a lot more downside to it than people want to believe. I truly believe that, Todd.
Well, no, I'm in 100% agreement with you there. I'm just not in agreement with you on that the Fed is not letting the assets reprice themselves. The Fed is standing in the way of letting the assets reprice themselves, and they're printing too much money. And I say, and we'll talk about this when we come back from the break, but I say,
okay.
But wait, I'm going to give you something to think about while we go to break. I think that the Fed is going to be the black swan this time. It's not going to be a geopolitical event. It's going to be the Federal Reserve, because they don't have a clue of what's going on, and they're trying to suppress the dollar, is the way I see it right now. And that's the only way they can artificially keep rates low, even if the bond markets push rates higher. So my opinion is the Fed is going to be the black swan, because the dollar is going to get away from them like everything else has going forward. But anyways, you think about that. This is Joe Meyer from Straight Money Analysis. He's got the greatest quarterly newsletter that is unbelievably reasonably priced. I would check it out if I were you, straightmoneyanalysis.com. And of course, this is the Bubba Show. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm every single day and download the show, so we can get to our goal of 1 million downloads a month. I'm counting on you. And don't forget about the high school investing program. We're trying to continue to grow this, but at this point, after 7 years of funding it myself, I'm looking for some help. So if you want to go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading, you make a small donation, and I will give you one free week of the Futures Advisory Service. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're with Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. We'll be back after the break with more, and Joe will answer my question when we come back from the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. He is a genius, been around for 1,000 years. And between the two of us, we've got probably over 100 years of experience. In the meantime, Joe, so I ask you a question, and I say that the Fed's going to be the black swan. What say you?
I think the best thing the Fed can do is get out of these markets and stay out of them and let the market determine fair value.
Okay, but then but then that goes back to interest rates, because interest rates at fair value are not at where they are now. And how do we know that? Well, let's see. You've got credit card debt at record highs, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, you've got peer-to-peer lenders popping up every single day, and they're not giving out 4% money. They're giving out 8, 10, 12, 15% money. So the the free market would price the bond market at what do you think would the free market would price it at?
Probably 6-7% at a minimum.
Okay. So why can't we support that? Why is it that we have to have the money for the big corporations? Because they're the only ones who can benefit off that cheap money. So why is it that we have to worry about the exact value of the stock market today when it's really just an air bubble that we're seeing? I know you agree with me that it's a bubble.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the biggest bubbles of all time. Certainly the biggest bubble I've seen in my career.
So tell me, what good is keeping rates low when they're not low because they should be low? They're low because they've been artificially manipulated, maneuvered to be lower.
Well, what bothers me the most is the rates have been low now for almost a decade, and they've really failed to create, as you and I have talked about many times, the decent paying jobs. We've not seen companies take this cheap money, invest it in plants and equipment. And we've not seen, although we are starting to see now most recently, the decent paying jobs come back to the shores of America. But quite frankly, it's been very slow in happening. And I think the money went into stock buybacks, and it certainly didn't go into expanding the business and certainly expanding its market share. That's where the money should have went, Todd.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, again, I want to go back to 08 just for a moment here, not to rub salt on anybody's wounds, but I believe that the Fed should have let the banks go broke that were not solvent and taken the money instead of putting $5 trillion of wasted money into this economy, which is how we got to where we are today. If they would have just bailed out the savers that were in those institutions and paid them their money and let the banks that couldn't control themselves and didn't know how to act normally and run a real business, let them go bust. Do you think that's wrong?
Well, they bailed out the recklessness within the industry, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. It should have never been bailed out, but it was.
Right. So I think that if we would have just let the market crash when they were, instead of bailing them out, we could have rebuilt and had a much better start right now instead of waiting for the next bubble to pop, which you and I both know is going to pop. What do you think?
When it pops, as I've said many times, the surprise is going to be not only how quickly this market goes down, but how far it falls. I truly believe that.
Well, no, I mean, my opinion, and, you know, listen, I don't usually throw out numbers, but I mean, I always make it known that I look for the next level first. I mean, even if I give you a number, I'm not looking for that number today. And I think that before this is all done, the next sell-off could be a 30 to 45% haircut. What do you think?
Well, you know, you and I talked about 1565 in the S&P 500, and I think it could be a reality. What do you think?
Well, that's my number. That's 40% from here. So. You know, that has not changed, right? It's going to get hit at some point. You know, let me ask you this, Joe. You look at all markets, obviously. So we know we both are bearish on the Dow, but we know that we're not going to fight it because it can go up longer than we think it can. But at the end of the day, what do you think about, like, the oil space here now? I mean, they're pumping up oil. Now, me personally, I'll give you my views first. I think oil is going to zero. I mean, not today, but I don't think oil has anywhere near the value that they're pricing into it right now. And the formation tells me that the only reason it's higher here is because there's some fear in the market. Because if you look at April oil, which is the current front month contract, that's more expensive than December oil by a long shot, which tells me that there's some fear in the market. And that's the only reason oil is staying at these levels. What do you think?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think the Middle East is very unstable. You know, where we go from here, I don't think anybody knows. Korea is another wild card. Syria is another wild card. Iran. I mean, there's an awful lot here that can go wrong. Does that justify certainly the price structure we're seeing in oil at this point? I have to question that. you know, where should oil be trading? Probably below $50 a barrel, but it's right around 60. You know, when you talk about commodities, I think the grains are certainly the most undervalued sector of the commodity market. What do you think?
Well, I've told everybody you should be buying corn and wheat like their stocks and put them away. Because
absolutely.
I think that these pricing here is ridiculous. And it just goes to show you that many don't believe in the weakness of the U.S. dollar. And I think many more agree with me, because I think the dollar is being artificially suppressed. Because if you look at the dollar at 5-year lows, basically, and grains are at 5-year lows, but that doesn't make sense, right? I mean, if it's always the dollar, then the grain should be soaring right here, shouldn't it?
Should be.
So I look at that and I say, well, that to me does not seem like a very good answer to me. And I don't know what to make of it, but I think certainly I would be buying, you know, corn and wheat. You know, I'd like to see a little bit of dip. They've had a nice rally. I'd like to see a little bit of a dip, but I would have no problem sitting and holding them like I would hold a stock. What about you?
I agree with you. I think we're headed a lot higher. I truly believe it.
So, you know, when we look at that and we look at other sources and things going around the globe, you know, I think the economy is really in a shambles. And I think that part of it is because we can't get the dead ass government off their butts to do the right thing. And this is the problem, you know, because they continue to add debt. I mean, we are at record debts in every category right now. And it doesn't look like it's going to go away anytime soon. What do you think about that?
Well, there's no question we've built up tremendous debt. You know, globally since 2009, I think the world has added about $15 trillion in debt at almost zero interest rates. Now the rates are rising, and servicing this debt, I believe, moving forward could be a very serious problem for a lot of countries. What do you feel?
Well, no, I think that, again, this is why I think the Fed and the other central banks around the globe are trying to muscle the dollar down, because, you know, it's not just the United States borrowers, it's not just our commodities, but it's the overall view of other countries borrowing, because obviously we do a lot of global lending, and yes, they're trying to keep those rates suppressed. So at least that they keep the dollar lower, you know, so that, for example, you own a euro currency, you're trying to borrow, you're getting a 25% discount to our rates off the top, are you not?
Yes, you are.
So doesn't that make, so this goes back to the original question, is we're being artificially suppressed, and we're allowing other people to borrow our money, and we're letting banks, through fractional banking, we're allowing them to create more money to a system that can't handle the amount of money that's out now. What do you think about that?
Let the markets determine fair value. Let the markets determine what rates should be. They'll do it very efficiently and very productively. That's what I believe.
And I agree with you. I think that this is the up and coming issue that, you know, you look at. And of course, I know you track the bond market. What's your take on the bond markets for the next, you know, couple of years? I think the bonds have gone from a bull market to a bear market.
Well, I talked about in a previous issue of the newsletter why I believe the long bull market in bonds, which, as you know, began in 1981, was over. It's been a tremendous historic move in the bond market. Quite honestly, I don't think we'll ever see anything comparable again in our lifetime. And I think bonds, quite frankly, could be one of the worst places to be now, Todd. I think there's certainly better markets, better areas you could be investing in. I don't like bonds, period.
Well, not, yeah, but let me ask you this now. So the stock market yields about, what, 3.5% a year dividend-wise?
Yes, it does.
Is that about right? Not including,
not including
growth or including risk, but it does yield. So if the 10-year gets to 3.5%, do you take your money out of the market and put it in the 10-year?
Well, I still think selectively equities may be the place to be as we unfold what's ahead of us. You know, the question is, with these bond markets, the leverage and the risk that these bonds represent. You know, I'm looking for a lot of changes as we finish out 2018 and beyond, and I think there could be some surprises none of us are really at this point contemplating. I'm not so sure this European Union's going to hold together. I'm not so sure we're not going to see
hold that thought. We'll talk about that. I agree with that. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. We are with Joe Meyer from StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. Pretty straight guy, too. Him and I are bickering pretty good today, but it's Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. He writes a great quarterly newsletter, and I know it's about 40 pages or 30 pages long. He's just finishing. So we'll check him out. But in the meantime, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at LibertyTalk.fm. Help us get to our goal of 1 million downloads a month. That's what we're striving for, and I need your help to do that. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, you're with Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. We'll be back with more from Joe right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. Great newsletter. Check it out. Go to StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. So, Joe, you know, I've been trying to short the euro currency, and I don't know, and I know you said this before we went to break, I don't know that they're going to be around, and certainly I expect the dollar to go to par against the euro currency, and I expect that I wouldn't be surprised to see the euro go back under a dollar as it was back in, what was it, the 90s, I believe.
Well, I think that's a very distinct possibility, no question. We've got some very serious financial problems in the European Union. You've got an awful lot of members of the EU that are on the verge of default and bankruptcy. You certainly are looking at Spain, Ireland, Italy. You know, you can keep naming the various ones that have got a banking situation and a problem. You know, if it weren't for Germany, I'd have to question whether this euro would have survived as long as it currently has. But, you know, when you talk about the euro trading with the dollar in parity, I think it's a very distinct possibility with, I think, the dollar trading at some point at a premium to the euro. Too many problems in Europe for me to certainly look at that market and certainly at this point want to have any investments or be part of what's going on. I think there's better opportunities in other areas of the world and certainly other sectors in the market, Todd.
So we agree there. So where are the other areas that you're looking at? What are some of the things you're looking at right now?
Well, I like the precious metals. I think they're very undervalued. I think they have tremendous long-term potential. I think when you talk about precious metals, certainly silver is the one that I think would have the most potential as we move forward on a percentage basis. But I think we've seen the lows in gold and silver, and I think we're at the point where the bull market is ready to resume. And I think the precious metal mining shares are selling at a deep discount to bullion prices. And I think people should be buying the quality companies and putting them away.
Okay, now I think that the metals, I like the metals, and I say that you should always own them. Those are, you know, it's like a hard asset, like owning a home, right? So we're not really, you're not concerned about the day-to-day, because you're not going to trade metals unless you're trading in futures. You're not going to trade them day-to-day. But I do believe that gold probably has a dip down to maybe the Tesla's lows it made a couple of weeks ago at 1240, potentially. Now, again, I'm not saying it's going there, but I think that it failed at 1365. So I think it's got a little bit of room to go on the downside, but certainly that would be, in my eyes, a buying opportunity. And the same thing with silver. I think it's got a little bit of room left to go on the downside, but in my eyes, it's a buying opportunity. And those are asset classes you buy with money that you're not going to need to pull out tomorrow. What do you think?
Well, I think ideally you should be pulling your money out of bonds and moving into the metals. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, I could live with that. I mean, but, you know, one of the things is, you know, the one thing you know about the bonds is that, you know, if you get 3% on your bond, you know, you can get the money back, and, you know, you have to more depend on price. I'm always concerned about people that are on fixed income or, you know, that need to be to get out where they just necessarily can't get out of an asset class like that. Right. You know, if you're on a tight budget, you know, that guy who saved, let's say, 500 grand throughout his whole life. Okay, now he's going into retirement and figured he'd get Social Security, would give him X, and, you know, the bank is putting money in the bank at 5 or 6% would give you X. That would give him enough to live the way that he always lived. And now that's not the case anymore, and sometimes you need money. And, of course, the biggest concern for many retirees is the disintegration of their principal. So I think that's one of the issues that I find with some of these other investments for them. What do you think?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's a very valid point, the way you've explained it. You know, you and I have always said you can't be 100% invested in any market at any time for any reason. You've got to have adequate cash reserves that are liquid that you can certainly tap if need be. You know, people lose sight of the fact you don't have 100% of your capital invested in the market. And if you do, I think you're very foolish. And if you're leveraging the position and doing that, I think you're even more foolish.
Right. And I go back to that we just need to have a situation that we're set up for, because you and I both know that you need money at the worst possible time. Right. You always need something, always goes wrong at the worst possible time when you have to sell an asset to get there.
Very true.
So I think that becomes a much bigger problem for most. And that's why I believe that, you know, the bond market is feeble as it may be. Okay, you're going to get 3 or 3.5%. At least you know that you're going to get that much. And I'm not saying take all your money. I mean, me personally, I have all my money, 95% in the equity market. And I never get out because I hedge my portfolio. So I'm always buying more. You know, the 3 weeks ago when the markets broke hard, I was buying more down at the bottom because my hedge helped me finance it. But at the end of the day, not everybody knows how to hedge, not everybody wants to hedge. So if you don't, then you have to be able to put your money in other places. And, you know, because, again, you and I both believe there's a big beatdown coming in the equity market. So if that's the case, then they need to have their money somewhere else that they can get it, that it would be somewhat liquid, where they can get money if they need it. What do you think?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think the other mistake people make, and we'll touch upon this quickly, is people fail to ring the bell and take money off the table when the market hands you a decent profit. I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination you sell out the entire position, but you should certainly liquidate at least a portion of it. People don't do it.
Yeah, well, I don't do it because, again, I hedge mine, so I don't have to do it. I'm a big advocate of being hedged, so I don't.
Greed is a killer in the market, Todd. You and I know that. People get greedy and they lose sight of the risk that the position may represent, even though it's going up.
No, I know, but that's what I mean. So if you learn how to hedge your portfolio, then you don't have to get out because your risk is less than 2%. That's, again,
very important.
That's what I'm talking about. So, again, you know, many people flock to gold as a safe haven, but gold is not a safe haven play. In my opinion, gold is just another asset that you own that should appreciate over time. Do you consider gold as a safe haven asset play?
It's a storage of value and a hedge against inflation, and that's all it'll ever be.
So you wouldn't say, well, these the markets are going down, I'm going to put all my money in gold right now, would you?
Oh, no, no. No, you've got to have adequate cash. You got to diversify, certainly, the risk you're going to undertake in any market. You certainly got to be aware of the risk you're taking over what time frame that you're willing to accept, you know, what these markets can do. And you've got to use a very strict trading strategy to keep your losses small, keep your stops very, very tight. And be willing to admit when you're wrong in the market very early and limit your losses to a minimum amount of money. People don't do it. You know, I've often said you never go in the market without knowing where you're going to get out of the position if it goes against you and what your upside potential and target area is if things go right. You know, you got to decide those two things before you enter and put the position on in the market, Todd.
Well, and that's what I've always said. And it's like when you get on an airplane, Joe, what's the first thing the pilot tells you? Where's the exit door?
Yeah.
you know, I mean, that is something that is very important that we all have to realize is we have to know where to exit is in the market. If you're going to, if you're not going to protect yourself by hedging your portfolio or doing something of that nature, then you have to be prepared to get out and know where that level is. And I know you like to use some stops. What kind of room do you give a stock when you're in?
Well, I usually give it a 2-3% stop, no more than that. You know, if we're right, I don't have to worry. I can certainly adjust the stop as the stock moves in the direction that we think it should. But to go into a position and not know before you put the trade on what you're going to do if things go wrong, or more importantly, where you're going to get out if things go right. You know, people sometimes have expectations, and I'm sure you'll agree, as to how things are going to go before they put the trade on. But they're not psychologically or mentally prepared for things flying out a window and not going right. And as you know, we've been around this market a long, long time. Emotions make people do the wrong thing at the wrong time for the right reasons. You got to take the emotion out of the equation before you put the trade on. What do you think?
No, yeah, listen, I think that trading should be all mathematical. I mean, it just should be, this is the number, this is my plan. I did a whole webinar on trading plans for everybody because, again, I believe that you have to have a plan for whether you're trading or whether you're investing. Whatever you're doing, you need to have a plan for each one in each individual item. Do you not?
Absolute necessity. Couldn't say it any better.
So, you know, again, these are things that, you know, we always want to look at. But, Mr. Meyer, it's always great to have you on the program, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you. It's a pleasure to argue with you a little bit. But I think you and I are on the same page and agree with the same thing. So, you know, I think that everything's great, and I wish you the best, and I thank you for coming on the show.
Working on finishing the March 2018 issue of the newsletter, Todd. Going to get it out to my subscribers in the first week of March. I will send it to you. I know you're going to love it.
I always love it because that is straightmoneyanalysis.com by our friend Joe Meyer. Check it out, straightmoneyanalysis.com. And Mr. Meyer, thank you so much. Always great to have you on.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience, Todd. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Was Joe Meyer from Straight Money Analysis, and this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I want to remind you to go to bubbatrading.com and sign up for the daily updates, which I tell you what I think happened today and what's going to happen tomorrow. And all you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and you can sign up, and I will email you. No credit card required. It's all free. And I'll email you the update every day after the close. And don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show there every day, and you can download Crypto Investor X with Matt Demeter on the weekends. And also you can download the Sporting Edge, which is a great have for especially coming into March Madness. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And what did you think of that action yesterday? The old rip your face off market action. You know, the markets just look, they just don't look all that great. I got to be quite frank with you. I think that, you know, as I've said before, the tops are in. I think that this is a very real solid top. I don't see any reason to believe that that's going to change anytime soon. I think that you're going to continue to see these vicious rallies met with some vicious sell-offs to go along with it. And of course, you get very wild markets, and they flow and flow and go and go. And I think that's something that you got to look at. You got the same thing happen in crude oil yesterday. You had a big spike up, and of course, you know, at the end of the day, that's what the markets do when you're seeing this kind of action. And those are all indications that the tops are in place. And that we have to be on the guard to be sellers. I mean, when you look at, you know, the action yesterday, I mean, you had grains were, you know, up slightly, which is except for soybeans, which are down. But I mean, soybeans figured to sell off a little bit, and corn and wheat are holding pretty strong. I'd have to say that they are outstanding from where they are. And, you know, you've got natural gas sold off a little bit. You've got the cattle markets sold off pretty hard, and I think they've got some more work to do on the downside. Feeders are like one day away to get the 144 so that we can then, you know, go ahead and crank those out. I think you have to be you know, alert at all markets. And I think if you want to be a buyer, you have to look for value, and value is in things that have been beaten down that have real value. And of course, the dollar continues to be, you know, under pressure, thanks to our friends at the Fed. And, you know, Joe and I talked about that. He didn't necessarily agree with what I was saying, but, you know, I think that what I say is correct from a pure standpoint. And, you know, we've got, you know, the dollar hovering around, but in the meantime, it's trying to break out. And I think the dollar does break out. And, you know, I'd like to be, you know, play dollar plays. Now, again, if the dollar does break out, you then have some of the earnings that everybody's worried about. And this is the whole manipulation scheme that we're seeing because of that. When you have these types of things happening, you get weird movements. And this is why you can never figure that the correlation is always and forever. There are correlations that will rise over time, but in the short term, anything goes. And right now, I think every product that is dollar denominated is become a factor that doesn't really matter anymore, because the dollar, kind of everybody knows, is worthless, you know, compared to, you know, what the Fed is trying to do. And they're trying to keep their foot on the lid. And we know how this movie ends, right? When you push and push and push and try to keep something down, typically it will explode and go the other way. And I think that is what we're looking for within the dollar. I think we're looking for a potential explosion to go the other way, because again, you look at the overall picture of the market, you have a market that's being driven without free markets and price discovery. You're having markets that are being driven by dollars, by price, and by what the Fed is willing to give up to get you there. And I think that shows you the real McCoy and the real story of what the market is all about. And that is, again, an issue that we have to deal with. Okay, so if you're playing the cheap money trade, which has driven the equities up for 9 years, if you're playing the dollar trade, okay, then you know what the Fed is doing, which is trying to suppress the dollar. So this is all affecting interest rates. So you see how here's where the markets all kind of correlate. But again, when the dam breaks, as it did in treasuries, all right, you know, treasuries were at 158. Now they're, you know, 143. All right. That's a huge move. And it's only and as they say, it's only just begun. So let's not, you know, put ourselves in a situation in believing what may or may not happen. The charts are giving you the solid footprint. And, you know, the markets tried once again and failed and then actually made another, you know, multiple day lower high, which is just another reason to believe that the overall markets are working their way back to you, babe. They're working their way lower. And I think that's something that we have to, you know, identify with. I mean, if you look and you see, we peaked on the 16th, made a lower high the 17th, or the 20th, excuse me, lower high on Wednesday and a lower high on Thursday. So now you can see that this is making a little bit of a rounding top at a new lower level, which would only indicate to me that the markets want to go and will go lower. Now, again, if you're playing this market, you'd have to watch 25.5 in the Dow as your oops, I did it again. And that would be, I don't think we're going to see that, but that would be the area that you'd have to look at to say that would be the spot where you would have to, or you would want to get out at. And I think this is something that, you know, we look at and focus on very carefully at all times, because that is exactly what's happening in these markets. And, you know, if we don't watch our P's and Q's here, then we end up, you know, getting trapped in the wrong side. It's just like, you know, if you're trying to play the momentum and you're banging them down, they ran them right up in your face. And that's where the term rip your face off rally comes from. You know, but at the end of the day, we're playing the Fed game, and the Fed game is always a losing proposition. The only problem is they can hold on a little bit longer than we can, you know, capital wise. So, you know, you remember that they have the ability to print their own money. And this is things that, you know, we concern ourselves with. And that's why you have to be very careful and use stops to put yourself in and out of markets. And sometimes you just miss a move. That's all. But you're better off missing a move than busting a move, right? And again, I warn you have some great patience in here, because at the end of the day, this market's going to require patience, but it will be, your patience will be rewarded with a solid victory if you can be patient enough to wait for the move that's going to come. I think that's the importance that you have to understand about markets and about trading, is the move will come if you are patient enough to wait for it. And if you make sure that you're playing good defense and you have a good solid plan getting ready to go into it. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to happen. You know, again, we know that we saw the type of selling and action that we can get out of this market. And I think that that's, as they say, we can see it again and again. And that's what we're looking at here. Now, if you look back, you've only seen, you know, we were down 23,000 in the Dow. It was about the low in the Dow futures. Okay. So we basically cut back, you know, a little bit more than halfway back, which is just an opportunity. Okay. Because now you've got a solid ceiling at, you know, just under 25.5. That's why I use that 25.5 as a place that you want to make sure that you're ready to get out at. And this is, again, something that we focus on a regular basis, is to make sure that we're defending our capital, because in this business, capital is king. Okay. And being, if your inventory is your money and you run out of inventory, then you got no game to play. And that's why we talk about this as being more of a game than anything else, because it really is a game of logic and a game of understanding your opponents and what they're trying to do, which then puts you in what you're trying to do. And there's different opponents for different types of strategies. There's, you know, the short-term day trading opponent, and then there's a long-term investing opponent. And it just depends on what you're looking to do. But make sure that you have your plan in place, knowing exactly what you're planning to do, so that you can be equipped and prepared to make the move when it's time. Because other than that, you're going to put yourself in a very, very tough position when you're not prepared. It will create, first of all, a lot of emotional stress on you. It will create a lot of issues on you, and it will force you to make a bad decision. And that's one of the things that we can control, is our decision-making process. Anyways, everybody, this is The Bubba Show, and I'm Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I want to wish you all a very nice weekend. Enjoy the time off, and we'll be back on Monday. But in the meantime, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. You can also get The Sporting Edge and Crypto Investor X there. And also don't forget about our high school investing program, in which you can help if you'd like. We're looking to raise money so we can keep it going after 7 years. And of course, if you do that, you'll get a free week of the advisory service. That's at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. In the meantime, everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much. It's always great to be here with you. We will see you back here on Monday. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Or Monday. Excuse me. We'll see you on Monday.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.